Good afternoon, listeners. I'd like to invite you to take a little walk back in time with me to a time of soda shops and penny candy, of neighborhood grocers and silver screen legends. Welcome back to the golden age of radio, and enjoy classic radio plays of a bygone era, reimagined here for you by the Alexander Radio Theater. Countdown for blastoff. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire! From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The Alexander Radio Theater presents X-minus 1. Now, gray flannel armor.
My name's Thomas Hanley, and my case history is of particular interest to anthropologists, sociologists, and students of the bizarre. In its humble way, it serves as an example to one of the more obscure mating customs of the late 20th century. To begin with, I own several gray flannel suits and many slim neckties with regimental stripes. Millions of us roam the streets of our great cities, footsteps firm and hurried, eyes front, voices lowered, dressed to the point of invisibility. But inside, I fairly seethed with romantic ideas. Of swinging cutlasses, of beautiful damsels, their hair shimmering in the moonlight. In short, let's face it, I was a romanticist. But romance is a commodity difficult to come by in the great cities. Life is too impersonal, too busy, too standardized. This particular Friday night, I returned from my office to my one-room apartment and prepared to face another long, dull weekend. Then the doorbell rang.
Good evening, Mr. Hanley.
If you're collecting for something, come back after payday.
My friend, I'm Joe Morris, a representative of the New York Romance Service. Main offices in the Empire State Building and branches in all five boroughs, Westchester and New Jersey.
You must have the wrong party.
Oh no, Mr. Hanley. We're out to serve lonely people, and that means you. Don't deny it now. Why else would you be sitting home on a Friday night?
Well, the fact is,
you're lonely, and it's our business and our pleasure to serve you.
To serve me with what?
A bright, sensitive, good-looking fellow like yourself needs girls.
Girls?
Nice girls. Now, these young ladies I was referring to, Mr. Hanley, are not, professionals. They're sweet, normal, romantically inclined young ladies, but they are lonely. There are many lonely girls in our city, Mr. Hanley.
Oh, yes. Yes, suppose there are. Funny, you never think of it that way. I mean, if you're not a girl.
True. Now, the purpose of the New York Romance Service is to bring young people together under suitable circumstances.
Oh, I see. Kind of a, you'll pardon the expression, kind of a friendship club.
I should say not. We at the New York Romance have done what should have been done years ago. We've applied scientific precision and technological know-how to a thorough study of the factors essential to a successful meeting between the sexes.
Factors? What factors?
The most vital ones, my friend, are spontaneity and a sense of fatedness.
Oh, well, spontaneity and fate are contradictory terms.
Certainly. Romance, by its very nature, must be composed of contradictory elements. We have graphs to prove it.
Are you saying that you sell romance?
The very article. The pure and pristine substance itself. Mind you, I didn't say love. I didn't say common animal passion. I said romance. The missing ingredient, Mr. Hanley, in modern society. The spice of life, the vision of all the ages. That is what we sell.
Very interesting. If I'm ever in the market, I'll get in touch with you.
Oh, now, just a minute, sir. Try our system for a few days, absolutely free of charge. Here, put this in your lapel.
Oh, well, what? Well, what is this thing? Looks like a small transistor radio with a tiny video eye.
As it happens, it is a small transistor radio with a tiny video eye.
Oh. What does it do?
You'll see. Just give it a try. Remember, romance is sponsored by our firm are faded, spontaneous, aesthetically satisfying, and morally justifiable.
Well, all right, Mr. Morris. I'll accept the free trial offer. Wear this in my lapel, you say?
In the lapel.
Uh-huh. Well, all right. There it is.
Happy romance, Mr. Hanley.
You're listening to The Gray Flannel Armor, tonight's attraction on X-1.
This episode is brought to you by Meadows Fine Chocolates. Whether you're buying a box of chocolates for yourself or as a gift, you want the best. Meadows Fine Chocolates offers the finest box of candy that can be made, regardless of price. For never in 115 years have Meadows Fine Chocolates compromised with quality. Only the finest chocolate, the choicest nuts, the rarest fruits and flavors go into this best-known, best-liked, largest-selling box of candy in the world. Now, in time for Valentine's Day, Meadows offers a fascinating array of traditional heart-shaped boxes, in a choice of colors, some gilt-edged, some lavishly beribboned in satin. Choose one to suit her taste and your price. Have you given a box of Meadows Fine Chocolates lately?
Now, X-1 brings you back to Gray Flannel Armor.
After Joe Morris left me, I took off my gray flannel jacket and examined the small device attached to my lapel. It had no knobs or controls. It didn't seem to do anything at all. I shrugged, put my jacket on again, tightened the Windsor knot in my tie, and went for a walk. It was a clear, cool night, like most nights in my life. It was a perfect time for romance. Around me lay the city, infinite in its possibilities and rich in its promise. But it was devoid of fulfillment. Nothing ever happened. I passed lighted apartment buildings and thought of the women behind the high, blank windows, looking down and seeing a lonely walker on the streets. Wondering about me, maybe, as I was wondering about them.
Nice to be on the roof of a building.
You
look down on the city.
Huh? Who said that? I wonder. Sure. This transistor thing. Hey, what was that you said about a roof? Oh, I guess it isn't two-way. Well, it's not a bad idea, though. It'd be kind of pleasant to look down on the city lights.
No. Not that one.
Well, what's wrong? Oh, sure, wrong building. You mean this one over here? Oh, no answer again. Well, must be the right one this time. At least, I hope so. I walked into the lobby, and I remember thinking how you had to hand it to New York romances. They seemed to know what they were doing. I took the self-service elevator to the top floor. From there, I walked up a flight of stairs to the roof. Well, the air smells good up here at least.
No, not that side. The west side.
Okay. I hope you know what you're doing. I certainly don't. If this turns out to be some sort of joke, I'll,
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to intrude.
You're not intruding.
Well, I didn't see you at first, there in the shadows.
I know.
The lights. Mention the lights.
Huh? Those lights. The lights of the city down there. They're beautiful.
Yes, like a great carpet of stars. Or spear points in the gloom.
Like sentinels keeping eternal vigil in the night.
Like sentinels keeping eternal vigil in the night.
Take her in your arms.
Take her.
What?
Nothing. Nothing. A mistake. Come here to me.
Yes, yes.
As she was melting in my arms, I caught sight of the small transistor set pinned to her shoulder strap. The one exactly like the one in my lapel. You can't help feeling a little odd about a romantic meeting set up and sponsored by transistor radios. I could visualize a million young men in gray flannel suits roaming the streets in response to barely heard commands from a million tiny radios. I tried to forget my doubts. The next night, I took another walk and found myself in a slum section of the city. I decided I'd made a mistake and I started to turn around.
Why not walk on?
You want me to walk down this alley? Well...
Help!
Oh. Good night. Two muggers after a girl. I'd better look for a policeman.
Why do that? You can handle them.
No. A policeman can do it a lot better.
Help!
No, you must do it. Now.
There's two men. They're probably armed.
Save me! Help!
You can do it.
Oh, well, here goes.
No, you don't.
Now, wait a minute.
Let me go!
Wait, I'll save you. Let go of her, you rats. There, take that. And that. Ah, that'll teach you to harm a helpless girl.
Oh, you saved me. You saved my life.
I had to come.
Yes, I know.
Take her in your arms.
Yes, I know. I swept her into my arms and we embraced there in the darkened alleyway. As I held her close, my cheek brushed a shining jewel in her raven black hair. I had to look twice to recognize it, but sure enough, it was a tiny transistor receiver just like mine. I was suddenly angry. Oh, the girl was lovely. There was no denying that. And the circumstances were undeniably romantic until you realized that it was all a kind of cheap play. Faded and spontaneous. That was a joke. Angrily, I tore the transistor from my lapel and threw it into the nearest garbage can. I stalked away into the night, hardly realizing where I was going. I didn't really wake up until I reached the waterfront. I stood there, looking at the oily black water, and let the brackish-scented breeze fan my face. And then, unexpectedly, I was aware of another person nearby. The moon slid from behind a cloud, and her auburn-tinted hair caught its light and held it for a moment. She turned her face toward me with frank curiosity. But this time, there was no transistor radio to throw me a cue. I didn't need one. It's a nice night.
Maybe. Maybe not.
The beauty is there, if you care to see it.
What a strange thing to say.
Is it? Is it really so strange? Is it strange that I'm here at this very moment, and that you're here too?
Perhaps not. No, perhaps not.
Let me look at you. Oh, you're really beautiful, you know.
Am I?
You know you are. You're lovely.
Do you really like me?
Like you? If I could only tell you.
Oh, I'm so glad. You see, I'm your free introductory romance given you as a sample by Greater Romance Industries.
What?
With home offices in Newark, New Jersey. You see, only our firm offers romances which are truly spontaneous and faded.
Spontaneous and faded?
Due to our technological researches, we are able to dispense with such clumsy apparatus as transistor radios and sir, where are you going?
I was sick and disgusted. After that, there were several other attempts to get in touch with me, but I ignored them. I wanted no more to do with the romance game. In a couple of days, I called up a twittering aunt of mine, and she arranged a blind date for me with the daughter of one of her oldest friends. The blind date was a nice, friendly girl with a plain, brown, mousy hair. We were introduced in my aunt's living room, and we sat out on her sun porch and talked.
So you're Tom Hanley?
Yeah. I guess I am.
Your aunt has told me a lot about you. You work in advertising, don't you?
Yes, that's right. Madison Avenue.
Oh, I think that's thrilling. Advertising, I mean. It's such an interesting field.
Well, We like to think so.
Yes, I imagine you do all right.
Seems like, it's warmer this evening, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. Although, I don't mind the cooler weather so much. Lots of people complain about it, but I don't mind.
Well, I don't either, I guess. As long as you're dressed for it.
Yes, I suppose that's the secret.
Oh, I was just thinking, do you like bowling?
Oh, I don't know. I've never bowled.
Oh.
Do you like tennis? I'm crazy about tennis.
Well, tennis is all right. Yeah, I guess you could say tennis is fine.
I'm crazy about it.
Well, all right. So it wasn't romantic. At least it wasn't at first. But there must have been something about it. We began to hit it off. And we had more dates, and one thing led to another, and the first thing you know, darned if we didn't get married. Yes, that's the story of my courtship. Of course, it isn't the whole story. At least if you're making a case history, you have to know the important things. And to my mind, one of the most important of all happened after we were married. We bought a nice little house out near my aunt's and settled down in it. Then, one Saturday morning, I was out cutting the lawn.
Hi there!
Huh? Did you say something?
I said hi. Don't you remember me, Joe Morris?
Oh, sure. New York romances. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Morris, but you'd better take me off the list. I'm married now.
Certainly. I know all about it. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I know all about the way it happened. Introduced by your aunt, talking on the sun porch, corny old-fashioned stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it. Quite the contrary. Do you know what we down at New York Romances call this?
No. What?
Hanley's mode. We studied you. A lot of commercial possibility there. We've got it down on graphs. Effects of embarrassment on the psyche. The role of the aunt in American courtship. The whole works.
What are you talking about?
New York Romances. What else? We've got a new service. It's called the Old Fashioned Plan.
The what?
We provide bonded aunts for young men to call up. We even have the aunt walk into the sun parlor at unexpected intervals with a plate of cookies or something. They say the suspense becomes almost overpowering. Like our motto always said, spontaneity and a sense of fatedness. It never misses, my boy, never misses.
You have just heard X-1, originally presented on January 9, 1958 by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine. Gray Flannel Armor was story from the pages of Galaxy written by Finn O'Donovan and adapted for radio by William Welch. Featured in the original cast were William Redfield, Guy Repp, Abby Lewis, Pat Hosley, Hetty Galen, Freddie Chandler, and Helen Gerald, with Fred Collins announcing. X-1 was directed by George Voutsis. Our production starred Micah Henry as Thomas Hanley, George Brown as Joe Morris and as the Mugger, Faith Wallers as the voice on the transistor radio and as the fourth girl, Leslie Meadows as the first girl, Kay Henry as the second girl, and Laura Wallers as the third girl. Sound effects were created or collected by the cast, and music was used royalty-free. Full credits will appear on the library website.
And now, a 5-minute mystery. See if you can solve the case before the end of the program.
Well, Alice, one more block and you'll behold the Brooks household.
2 whole years, Jim. It just doesn't seem possible it's been so long. You and Dorothy married and with a place of your own?
It's true, all right. Only too bad you haven't taken advantage of the old Brooks hospitality.
Well, I'm here now, and I intend on having a perfectly wonderful time.
Now, here we are.
Oh, what a charming place this is.
Dorothy's probably on needles and pins waiting for me to get you here. Darling, it's Jim. Here's Alice.
Jim, look!
What? Where?
There, on the living room floor. It's Dorothy! Dead!
Mr. Brooks, I'm afraid you and Miss Manning will have to submit to some routine questions.
I'll be happy to help in any way I can, Inspector.
Thank you, Miss Manning. Now, Mr. Brooks, while we're waiting for some information I phoned for, I want you to tell me exactly what happened this morning.
There's nothing much to tell. Both my wife and I were quite excited, expecting Alice, that is, Miss Manning here, to visit us from Chicago. I was to wait until she called me at the office.
And you were there all morning?
Yes, until Miss Manning's train arrived and we came out here.
I had written Mrs. Brooks to tell her that I would call Jim at the office as soon as I arrived. The train was an hour late. Maybe, if it had been earlier, it may have prevented this.
Well, that remains to be seen. Apparently Mrs. Brooks was sitting here in this chair putting red polish on her fingernails when she was shot from behind. The polish had spilled all over the carpet, and she was still holding the tiny brush in her hand. She must have recognized her attacker, and since she did not die instantly, she printed these three initials here on the floor with the polish. D.O.C.
D.O.C. I wish we could tell whose initials she was trying to reveal.
You're sure you don't know anyone whose name would fit that?
Positive, I can't.
Oh!
Yes, Miss Manning? Can you think of somebody with those initials?
Well, D.O.C. spells Doc, and it's Mr. Brooks' nickname.
Why, it can't be.
Yes, Mr. Brooks?
I haven't been called Doc for over 2 years. It was a nickname I picked up in school. My wife didn't like the name and never used it. No one in New York even knows me by Doc. You've got to believe me, Inspector. It's the truth.
Well, that we'll see. Just a minute. Hello? Yes, Grady. Yes, I see. Well, it's sewed up anyway. Thanks. Well, you both will be happy to know our little murder is solved.
Oh, then. Then it wasn't Doc after all?
No, Miss Manning. It wasn't Doc. I'm arresting you, Miss Manning, for the murder of Dorothy Brooks.
Why did the inspector arrest Miss Manning for the murder of Mrs. Brooks? In a moment we'll hear, but first, we'll give you a musical moment to work it out for yourself. And now, back to our story.
How dare you arrest me? I was still on the train.
Your train wasn't late, Miss Manning. That phone call just verified the fact. You came out here, murdered Mrs. Brooks, returned to the station, and called Mr. Brooks to pick you up. That wasn't what really gave you away, though, Miss Manning. Too bad you didn't know Mr. Brooks was no longer called Doc when you printed those letters on the carpet. The next time you leave a name as a clue to throw suspicion, you'd better get the name right. But of course, there won't be a next time, will there, Miss Manning?
Join us again next time for another chance to solve a 5-minute mystery. Our cast included George Brown as the announcer, Chad Ritchie as Jim Brooks, Kay Henry as Alice Manning, and Micah Henry as the policeman.
The Alexander Radio Theater is brought to you by the Alexander Community Theater, the Alexander County Library, and Apple City Broadcasting. This is Lynn LaPelle, your announcer, inviting you to tune in next month for another Alexander Radio Theater production. Take your time as you head back to the present day, enjoy the view, and don't miss the little things of today that will be tomorrow's treasures.